You're listening to Type Radio, typeradio.org.
Hello, my name is Matthew Carter. You are listening to Type Radio. Now we're talking.
One more question.
Sure.
Some people consider that following your father's footsteps is a handicap.
Yes.
Surely I think it's more of an advantage, no? I mean...
Well, my father was a typographer, and I suppose the fact that I do what I do has a huge amount to do with that. He did not push me to follow in his footsteps. He had a rather civilized view that one typographer in the family was enough. And if I did something different, it would make conversation at the dinner table more interesting, you know, rather than having two typographers in the same family. But when I did get interested in it myself, then he was supportive. I mean, he was very helpful to me at that time. So I would have to say that did have a big influence on me, my father having... He was not a type designer. He was a typographer and a historian of typography. So I grew up reading the books and met the people and that sort of thing. So that did, in a way, determine what direction I went. But, you know, I know many cases of people who were clumsily forced by their parents to follow in their footsteps with very bad results, really, you know.
But it can also be a burden.
Yes.
Because I know a lot of examples of people actually wanting to break free from that whole
idea. I know
and that's
many
not
cases
even like a
myself.
Bad influence, their
yes.
father or
yes.
mother. But
yes. You know, often people who perhaps feel, rightly or wrongly, that they have perhaps not been very successful in their chosen career put their ambitions onto their children. If you've been an actor and you weren't very successful, you want your child to be a star because it's next best thing to you being one, and so on. You know, certainly my parents didn't have that view at all. But I do know, like you do, people who found themselves in that situation and it's made them very uncomfortable, and sometimes caused rows and rebellions and so on in a way that you don't think is strictly perhaps necessary if the parents had been more sympathetic and understanding. On the other hand, I do know people who followed in their parents' footsteps very happily,
of course.
Equally. So it's very hard to say that one course, like so many things about education and so on, it's, you can say after the event whether it was done right or not, but at the moment it's rather hard to say.
But do you have children?
I do. I have two sons. I have a son and a stepson, and they have not really... Well, one of them is in a completely different life field. One of them does... he would never call himself a designer, but he works in PR and public relations, and he does produce documents. I mean, he can use Quark and Photoshop and all these things, but as I say, he doesn't... You know, his interest in this is not as a designer. It is a slightly different emphasis. So they haven't followed me in any way, really. Nor did I try to persuade them to do so. Nor would they have done it if I had.
Okay. Is there anything else besides... Do you have, like, a hobby, something like where your heart goes into besides...
Not really. My talk, I showed many, many slides that I had taken myself. I carry a camera, particularly when I'm traveling, a pre-digital camera. I suppose I'll have to change eventually, but I do, and it's, for me, it's rather like keeping a journal. I photograph anything. I mean, today, of course, I was showing slides of lettering and other things relative to my talk, but I photograph all manner of things just because I found it a useful way of making a note to myself. It may be a plate of food, or it may be a building, or it may be anything, you know. So I don't really know if that's a hobby, but it's something that is part of... It's sort of related to my work in a way, but it's also a pleasure to me. I find I look at things more carefully if I consciously think about, would this make a good photograph? You know, do I want to photograph this? Is there anything here that particularly interests me that I want to remember? So, yeah, you could say that was a hobby. I don't perhaps think of it as that.
It's more like a visual diary.
Yes, exactly. That's a very good term for it. It's a visual diary because because afterwards I can look back at things and remember what interested me, and then if I go back to a place I have some references and so on. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we're through.
I'm happy to go on talking, but if you're finished, so am I.
You said you didn't collect. Now, I know type designers, but especially graphic designers, collect anything.
Yeah, many of them do, and many of them have fascinating collections.
Your photography is in...
Maybe that is a little bit of a collection in a way. But I don't... I don't so much collect examples of printing and so on, and there's a reason for that. You know, I grew up in London where they have the wonderful St. Bride Printing Library, which has an extraordinary collection of books about type and printing and examples and so on. And so, you know, when I was growing up and when I was young in the profession, I was never really tempted to go out and buy specimen books of type and so on, because I could get on a bus and for sixpence I could be at the St. Bride Library and see hundreds of these things and so on. So I was spoilt by that. Mm. So I've never, you know, sometimes people come and visit me at home and they expect to find a collection of type books and type specimens and so on, which I really don't have, because I was brought up to use libraries, and I still do. I mean, I'm no longer in London, of course, and I can't go easily to St. Bride's, but there are other sources and so on. So, you know, I have friends here at this conference who have wonderful collections of type specimens, and, you know, it's nice for me to go and browse their collections, but I've never really done that very much myself. I mean, I have standard reference works and so on, but I've not been a collector of typography as such, really.
Yeah. And you're the only person here on this conference, probably, I'm not sure, to have actually met the designer of Helvetica.
Yeah. Max Miedinger, yes, I did know him. He worked for the Haas type foundry, and he was a curious guy because he was actually employed by Haas as a type salesman. He journeyed around, of course, all in the days of metal type, mm-hmm. and wood type. Haas made wood type as well. And his job was to drive around Switzerland visiting printers and selling type. Mm. But he did have some art school training, I think. And when his boss, Eduard Hoffmann, wanted to make a new sans serif in the 50s, mm-hmm. mid-50s, he turned to Max Miedinger to use his hands and eyes. So yes, Miedinger did produce the drawings for Helvetica very, very beautifully. But most of us consider that really the driving force was his boss, Eduard Hoffmann, who had the idea of taking the older 19th century Swiss grotesques, sans serifs, mm-hmm. and modernizing them in the way that was done with Helvetica, in the sense that Helvetica is a sort of was seen as an improvement of Accidents grotesque and mm-hmm. previous faces and so on. So, and Max did design one or two other typefaces, but as I say, that was not originally what he was employed for at Haas. So it's rather a curious story that he designed this most successful of all recent typefaces, if you go back.
And he wasn't even a type designer.
He was not primarily a type designer. I mean, he would have been insulted if you said he was not, but his background was a different one. Mm. Yeah.
And he realized the success of the font, though. I
mean, oh, yes, he lived long enough. I mean, he's been dead many years, but he lived long enough to see the success and to enjoy royalties. And I'm pleased to say that his widow continued to receive the royalties from Helvetica during her lifetime and so on. So that was, he was properly credited and so on.
Oh, yes. Very well. That's good to know.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's so many people, even type designers, who don't know. I didn't know, to confess that, who Max Miedinger was actually the designer of Helvetica. So.
Yes.
And
the
president of Canada.
We still don't know the president of Canada.
I'm really ashamed of not knowing that. I'm just going to look it up.
Yes.
Since Robert Bringhurst didn't come here, I don't know.
Yeah,
we hope to have asked him that at first, because he was the first speaker and our first guest, but we'd never got to know that.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Thank you for this conversation.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed
Thank
talking
you.
To
you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
www.typeradio.org